For decades, manufacturers in the United States have warned of a massive skills gap, that there are not enough new workers with the skills needed to make up for older ones who are retiring. President Biden has proposed $100 billion for workforce training over the next 10 years as part of the American Jobs Plan, a plan he touted during his address to Congress earlier this week.
Nearly 90% of the infrastructure jobs created in the American Jobs Plan do not require a college degree. 75% don't require an associate's degree. The American Jobs Plan is a blue-collar blueprint to build America. That's what it is.
In this installment of our series, Roads to Recovery, Christopher Booker reports from southwestern Connecticut on how the pandemic has accelerated a push to improve and expand training for the state's manufacturing workforce. This story is part of our ongoing series, Chasing the Dream, Poverty and Opportunity in America.
There's much to be read in Bigelow's tea leaves. Watching the tea bags being manufactured in this Fairfield, Connecticut factory is to see a collision between the past and the present. The final product would not be unfamiliar to Ruth C. Bigelow, who started this company nearly 80 years ago, but the speed and mechanization of producing 460 million tea bags a year with just 100 workers is entirely new.
When we first started, the business was built on women whose kids were in school and the hours that they were able to work. And those hours were the hours they came in.
Cindy Bigelow is Ruth's granddaughter and the CEO of Bigelow Tea, which in addition to this plant, also has production facilities in Louisville, Kentucky and Boise, Idaho.
How hard is it to find and retain talent, particularly in the manufacturing sector?
It is a challenge, and the pandemic made it more challenging.
The factories never shut down, even as the market for tea changed. Demand increased at home but cratered at the office. That, combined with the pandemic itself, put extra pressure on Bigelow's workforce.
When you think about manufacturing, you recognize that it's a disciplined profession. You have to be here on time. You have a certain number of hours. You're working on lines with other individuals. There's a real collaboration. And so when you have a pandemic hit and all of a sudden transportation has gotten more challenging, childcare was devastated. That impacts the employees and impacted our ability to be able to retain and keep and hire individuals.
Even before the pandemic, Bigelow says the company was always looking for new workers. And like other manufacturers, its workforce is aging.
A lot of our mechanics have been here 20, 25 years, and they're working toward retirement. So we need to make sure we're getting people in here. And they have to have what we call sort of soft skills, and they have to have sort of the mechanical and electrical aptitude.
But in Connecticut, like every state in America, there are not enough people with these skills.
I'm going to write the same program, but I'm going to adjust for the tools.
About 15 miles from Bigelow's Fairfield plant, a small group of aspiring machinists is getting their first exposure to computerized machining tools after 5 weeks of virtual classes. Funded by grants from the federal government and Connecticut's Department of Labor, and in partnership with companies like Bigelow, the 8-week pre-apprenticeship class provides training in soft skills and industrial safety. That's in addition to hands-on training with tools, blueprint reading, and machine programming.
Is this the first time you had thought about pursuing something like this?
Yes, this has been the first. I never knew anything about manufacturing.
If all goes well, 24-year-old Kyla McClintock will be a full-time apprentice in a matter of weeks. She attended some college after graduating high school, but didn't graduate and has student debt. And she lost her job in a deli last March due to the COVID shutdown.
I just want to be situated. Like, and I know with this trade, I can further in it. And I know I can make some type of living off of it.
A crucial part of the training equation is additional funding for supplies and fees, as well as childcare and transportation. McClintock lives about 30 miles away, and the program provides a ride to and from each in-person class.
If you had not had that transportation, do you think you'd be able to get here?
It would be a struggle without them. A struggle.
At the end of 8 weeks, McClintock will have a certificate from the National Institute of Metalworking Skills and be connected with a local employer like Bigelow, where she will complete an apprenticeship lasting at least a year, a paid job that also commits to providing structured on-the-job training and mentorship. While the idea for this program began before the pandemic, Joe Carbone, CEO of The Workplace, a Fairfield County-based nonprofit administering the program, says training like this has taken on new importance after the disruption of the last 13 months.
And when you look in Connecticut at the people that are right now collecting unemployment benefits, two-thirds are people that earned $35,000 a year or less in 2019. To the extent we can help to move people up, feeding the kind of skills that are needed for these jobs that you can do an apprenticeship program, they are that buffer between people that are unskilled and where you could begin to move up the ladder to feed into the industries that are growing and are paying reasonably good wages.
And officials in Connecticut are hoping that manufacturing, which makes up about 10% of the state's workforce with an average wage of nearly $20 an hour, may provide that bridge.
The pandemic has been really a catalyst to get people focused on workforce development.
Colin Cooper is Connecticut's chief manufacturing officer. He was appointed by Governor Ned Lamont in 2019 to serve as the state's advocate for manufacturing after a career running an aerospace manufacturing company. It's the first position like this in the country.
We graduate approximately 9,000 high school students a year that don't go on to college or the military. So those students are at risk of being underemployed if they don't get additional training. And we look at that as a river of talent coming out of our high school systems that we need to access that talent and get them the opportunity to get some of this training.
And they need to do it fast.
35% of our manufacturing workforce is 55 years or older. So we have a lot of attrition from retirement. And those happen to be the most highly skilled, experienced workers that are retiring. And so we're focused on incumbent worker training as well as training new entrants in America.
Sounds like a remarkably complicated task, because on one hand, you have such a large portion of the working population coming towards retirement, coupled with a pretty dramatic change in technology and what those skills that are needed for these jobs.
Yes, yeah, exactly right. I mean, we have sort of a generational shift in terms of all these digital technologies that are coming to bear in the manufacturing environment.
Cooper says even if you have the skills for today, there's a good chance they won't be enough for what's coming.
As that powder comes in, it meets the laser at just the right point, at just the right temperature, it forms a melt pool and builds your part or repairs your part.
Ron Angelo is the CEO of the Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology, or CCAT. The nonprofit was founded in 2004 with a federal grant to combat the loss in manufacturing jobs overseas and prepare Connecticut companies and the workforce for the manufacturing jobs of tomorrow.
This is the thing with the pandemic, as horrible as it is, what type of opportunities can come out of it?
Including unprecedented amounts of funding from the federal government. Last September, CCAT launched a program called Rev Up, subsidizing wages for Connecticut manufacturing companies that brought back furloughed or laid off employees and provided them with additional training. The program was funded using nearly $750,000 from the 2020 COVID Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act. The money helped bring back six employees to Bristol's DeCruz Manufacturing, who were laid off when business took a hit during the pandemic. Husband and wife Victor and Betty DeCruz run the company.
We had, you know, our supervisor coming in and saying, I don't have enough work. We had to, make some changes in order to, deal with our new reality.
We had some people test positive here, and we immediately shut down for 6 days, and it was just all very scary throughout.
Orders for precision machine parts started to pick up in the fall, and the DeCruzes said financial support from Rev Up gave them the confidence to bring people back to work sooner. Today they have about 40 employees, still down from a peak of 48 in 2018.
There's just a lot of unknowns. This is a pandemic. And so having some support from the state was great. And the thing is that, we had laid off these people and we wanted to bring them back
right, as
soon as possible, because before they would be, taken by someone else. The biggest hindrance for us to grow is lack of technical skills on finding people. We can get work, we can get machines, but you can't get people.
RevUp ended at the end of 2020, the date when all CARES Act money had to be spent.
Right now, we're standing in our advanced design automation and metrology lab.
But Ron Angelo is hopeful that funds from the American Rescue Plan, enacted in March, will provide additional support.
Now we're talking about a REVA program that will go maybe a couple years, where the last one, we really only had about 6 months to implement. So once we get that, it's like putting gasoline on the fire. There's so much demand. We know the workforce that's out there that wants to get back to work, the company that needs them back. All we need to do is get that capital deployed for the companies, and we'll start bringing a lot of people back to work.
And Victor DeCruz knows that employers can be a crucial part of that training process. He got his start after completing an apprenticeship in 1976.
You know, I came up through that. I actually made a business out of it. I've been a job creator for 40 years now, and I'm very proud of that.
This is the kind of future that aspiring machinist Kyla McClintock is hoping for.
I just can't wait to have that certificate in my hand to say I finished, you know? It gets my life on track, where it should be, you know? It's been a very struggle for me, so it's like, I need this.